The Land of the Lotus Eaters. Very well. After leaving Troy, the 12 ships of my Ithacan fleet made the mistake of stopping off to raid the land of the Cicones. I say the ships made the mistake. It was my error, of course. Against my better judgment, we stayed ashore there a night too long. The Cicones fought back, and we were humiliated into making for the ships and escaping out to sea, in time to meet the fury of a storm, the likes of which none of us had ever experienced. Punishment, perhaps, for what Locrian Ajax did. Punishment for who knows what. You always know when the gods are angry. You don't always know why. We didn't lose a ship, but more than half the vessels of my fleet needed some kind of repair. Once the storm had cleared, you know how it is, it's like an infant after a bout of tears, all smiles and sunny laughter, as if the tantrum never happened. So it was now. You've never seen a bluer sky nor a flatter sea. Storm? What storm? And the island we found. After the grey and black of the tempest and the blue of the sea and the sky, to see such green as we hove to and made our landing, it cheered our hearts. I should have known. Maybe you know. It's an established fact that there are no greater sailors in the world than you Phaeacians. Maybe on your voyages you too have encountered the land of the Lotus Eaters. No? Well, let me describe it. With green hillocks rising up in the centre, the island is embraced by soft chalk cliffs, broken by sandy bays, in one of which we found haven and dropped anchor. With such grassy fields, this land would be the perfect place to raise sheep and cattle, you might think. But you'd look in vain for any livestock. As I now know, the people who live there subsist on one food, a fruit that grows there in abundance. They call it the lotus. The men scrambled up the paths that led from the bays in search of water and timber for refitting. I stayed aboard my ship and watched them go, directing the repairs that could be undertaken without any additions from the island. After several hours, it became apparent that no one from the shore party had returned. They had been well armed, more battle-hardened fighters you could not find in the world. It seemed unlikely that they could have been surprised and taken by hostile inhabitants, but to be on the safe side, I took my sword and fitted a breastplate before taking one of the cliff paths to find out. When I reached the top, I saw what a beautiful island this was. The trees were in full leaf, flowers bloomed from every bush, clear water bubbled from springs, and the birds sang with what seemed to be the joy of life. And then I almost stumbled over one of my men, Perimedes, lying in the grass. "Hey there," he murmured, looking up at me with the most ridiculous smile on his face. I shook him. "Hell's the matter with you? Are you drunk?" And then I saw another and another. The whole roster of my scouting party were lying on their backs, looking up at the sun, grinning, humming, and giggling like children. I went from one to the other, trying to get them on their feet. I saw now that it was not wine that had infected their minds, but the fruit, the damned lotus fruit that they had been gorging on. One of the islanders now approached, bearing, like a priest, a tray loaded with the bloody things. "Welcome, visitor," he called out to me in a voice so soft and friendly that it made me want to choke the life out of him. "Come, join us. Take this fruit, why don't you, and forget about life's cares." I aimed a kick at the tray that sent the fruit flying into the air. The priestly islander let out a sob and fell to the ground, scrabbling to gather them up again. I pulled up one of my crew and slapped his cheeks left and right. Through blurred eyes, he grinned up at me. "That feels funny," he said.
Get back to your ship,
I yelled.
All of you, back to your ships. Don't you want to see home again?
Their replies sent a chill through me. Home? What home? Who needs home? This is our home. Let us lie in the sun. You should go away. You're spoiling the atmosphere. Let the bliss happen. Just leave us be. The priest began berating me for bruising his lotus fruit. I threw a punch that left him lying as flat as my crew. I ran to the cliff's edge and called down to my ships. Between us, my clear-headed shipmates and I brought the drugged men back down to the shore. They struggled. Gods, how they resisted! They thrashed and flailed as though they were being led to slaughter. We had to lash them to the rowing stations and wait for the madness to leave. Once the repairs were done and every last man could speak to me without giggling or trying to kiss me, I gave the signal to weigh anchor and leave the cursed spot. I tell you this, of all the terrible places I have ever visited, lands peopled by monsters, giants, and unimaginable beasts, realms governed by flesh-eating tyrants, none was more dangerous than the land of the Lotus Eaters. Various people since Homer's time have tried to locate this beguiling island,